Brethren at Battle Creek, Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, Australia. September 1st, 1895. My brethren at Battle Creek, strange things are opening before me concerning the developments that have taken place since we left Battle Creek. I need not say more than I have said, if our brethren will make a right use of that light God has already given me for them. Why I should have to keep repeating the messages given over and over, I could not explain, but I now have the mystery solved. The testimonies have been mostly in the hands of two or three, and they have not brought them before the ones who should have had the warnings and admonitions of God. In the place of standing steadfastly for principles in accordance with the Word of God, there has been a smothering of the flame of light God has designed to be kindled among you. I have sent the messages to a few, and they have hid the word of the Lord to them and gone right on pursuing the same course. They have neither received the messages themselves, nor let others know that any light had come to lead them to repentance and reform. The Laodicean message must be proclaimed with power in your midst, for it is now especially applicable. Pride, ambition, self-exaltation, double-dealing, hypocrisy, deception, destitution of spiritual power are manifested in a more decided manner than ever before. Yet you are speaking great swelling words of vanity, saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Revelation 3, verse 17. Meetings after meetings have been appointed for prayer, the so-called week of prayer. There is a desire with many for the revealing of God, and there are many who in true penitence seek the Lord that they may, by precept and example, keep a high and holy ideal ever before the minds and consciences of the people. The prayer goes forth from unfeigned lips, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalm 85, verse 6. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine. Psalm 80, verse 14. The prophets unite in the strain, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3, verse 19. Let all who name the name of Christ search their own hearts, whether they be in the faith. Let them take their Bibles and read carefully and with an understanding heart in regard to the revivals that have taken place among God's ancient people from time to time. Joshua 23, verse 8-11, Joshua 24, Judges 2. An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, no less a messenger than Jesus Christ. He said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. Judges 2, verse 1. None but the Son of God could use such words. Thus saith the Lord, the men chosen of God spake of old as they received their commission from the Lord, but this is the voice of the one only who was equal with God. The voice is one of authority. The same messenger came up from Gilgal. He said, Upon conditions of obedience, I said, I will never break my covenant with you. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Verses 1, 2. There was a coming before an offended God with confession, with weeping and repentance. They brought the sacrifices, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, and they made it a time of confession to God and to one another. They sacrificed unto God, and God forgave their sin, but their sacrificial offerings would have been of no value with God if, from their hearts, they had not true contrition of soul. The work of repentance was a reality. It was the grace of Jesus Christ that wrought in their hearts at that time as they confessed their sins and, in obedience to the law of God, offered up their sacrifices prefiguring the great atoning sacrifice. The revival was genuine, it wrought in them a reformation. This people, who came before the Lord with penitential tears and contrition of soul, offering their sacrifices, remained true to their covenant then made. In verse 7, it is recorded that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. The sin was repented of and forgiven, but the perverted precept and example was seed sown in human minds to bear its objectionable harvest. By their disobedience, they had given their enemies advantages, and the unconsecrated actions would be a snare to them. Joshua's faithful life of steadfast integrity closed, and afterward, one by one, the old faithful sentinels that had crossed Jordan laid off their armor. A new generation, who had not been accustomed to eat of the bread from heaven, came upon the stage of action. And the men who had transgressed and mourned for their sins at Bochim would not have Joshua with them with his loyal, faithful, ringing testimony to be to them as light. Joshua 24, verse 14, 29. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Verses 20 to 23. Read verses 24 to 28. The faithful, steadfast souls who had not betrayed their trust and loyalty would pass away, and the chapters in their experience would be forgotten. The nation, in departing from God, would corrupt themselves, and their worship would be mingled with erroneous principles, with haughty pride and love of display, and they would turn aside from the remainder.